time to hit In the Shop with Steve, Kirk, Brian, and Dan.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
In the Shop, your source for the latest information and advice on maintaining and repairing your vehicle on KGMI Newstalk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com. KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. Opinions and information expressed are those of the host and/or sponsors and do not necessarily reflect those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Well, how about those November storms in September?
Wow, the streets are a mess.
Summer's not even over.
Yeah.
I was at home last night. My wife's working on processing tomatoes from the garden.
Oh yeah,
it was time to pull them out of the garden last night, and I'm heading out to get some dinner. And I go, man, it's not really that windy out yet. They've been talking about how bad it was, and I leave the house and head down Everson Goshen Road, and somebody flipped a switch.
Yeah,
and there's stuff flying across the road, limbs coming down, and I come back home. It was just a mess in our driveway and the little road leading up to our house.
Oh yeah, we started to see it before while we were still working yesterday. The flags up front were just blazing.
Yeah. Well, you are in the shop. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive, and we are taking your calls as usual. We'd rather hear from you, but we brought lots to talk about. But 360-676-KGMI, that's 676-5464. And any automotive-related question, we'd love to help you out.
But a topic fell in your lap yesterday.
A topic fell in my lap. We had an unexpectedly exciting morning yesterday. My my son, I just go by numbers, kid three.
Kid three.
Kid three was getting up early and pretty excited. He'd recently gotten his Merchant Mariner card, his Coast Guard certification, his transportation worker card, and a lot of other hoops to jump through to be able to work on a marine vessel. And was on his way to Seattle to ship out on his first 10-day voyage. So pretty excited.
Yeah.
And about 15 minutes after he left, I got a phone call that started out with, I need help. My car's totaled. And kind of shocking, not something you want to hear.
No, that's a bad call.
I'm sure some other parents have heard that, and it's like, you know, are you okay? What's going on? What happened? And, you know, he's on the side of I-5. So if you were traveling south on I-5 out of Bellingham yesterday around 8 a.m., traffic slowed down quite a bit for about an hour, hour and a half.
That was number three.
and in actually a pretty bad accident. And
it was.
Fortunate that nobody was seriously hurt. Nobody spent the night in the hospital.
Right.
But some adverse weather conditions led to it, you know, kind of a series of events. And fortunately, nobody was hurt. He got rear-ended. Gentleman that had rear-ended them was a, you know, really nice guy. Everybody's got insurance, but kind of a dramatic event. A treetop had fallen kind of off to the side of the freeway over into the left lane, and the truck in front of my son kind of clipped the tree and then slowed down up ahead, and my son slammed his brakes on and came to a stop before the tree. And as that happened, he was kind of seeing in his mirror another car, a full-size Ford Bronco, coming at his little Subaru Impreza at full speed and slammed into the back of it.
Yeah.
So the car's about 2 feet shorter.
It is, yes. I saw pictures.
The seat is twisted and lifted up in the corner about 2 inches with the side of it all kind of bent up. His steering wheel's bent, which I suspect is from holding onto the wheel during the impact. But some of that we didn't notice till later. We got that thing towed to the shop, and boy, it's just mangled.
Yeah, I saw it in the shop. It's a sad sight.
And so he's not on his first day at his new job headed to Alaska.
No, he's probably a little sore today.
Yeah, he's a bit sore.
Yeah.
But again, the series of events, you know, a little bit of wind yesterday morning, a little bit of rain, lots of rain at times, wet freeway, limb coming down, a lot of things that factored into a situation that led to a crash.
Right.
But a lot of times, and in this situation, there are things you can do to avoid that.
Absolutely. The freeway, I did those trips to Portland and then to almost Olympia Lacey for 15 years, 12 years. And yeah, it's just it's a time bomb driving down there.
Yeah, the most frustrating thing about it is to avoid accidents on the freeway. The absolute number one thing is to leave following room, leave enough distance to the car in front of you. And at 60 miles an hour, basically, that's 88 feet per second. The average reaction time is about a second from when something happens to when you actually start slowing. And that's a statistical number that, you know, scientists have determined. Got to follow the science, you know.
That's if you're paying attention.
If you're paying attention. It's about a second. And so 1 second is 88 feet. You know, so go pace off 88 feet, you know, I'd say in your driveway, but not everybody has a driveway that long.
And then look at
how far you actually travel. And that's before you hit your brake. And then you're talking at 60 miles an hour, you know, depending on the vehicle, 100, 150 feet to stop. Now you're looking at basically you've got a football field before you're going to stop moving.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to leave that much room in front of you on I-5. In most traffic is almost impossible because that just becomes a hole for somebody else to fill.
It's exactly right. Yeah. Where our little Rav has that, has adaptive cruise where you can set it and it keeps the distance. You can set it whatever distance.
So when you're in rush hour traffic, does it just put it in reverse and start backing up
because
you never have
enough
room in front of you?
It just shuts off. But no, you're right. You get the three car lengths. And I mean, I don't know of a trip that I've taken yet that it just somebody fills the gap.
Yeah, in driving over the years with our Honda Pilot, you know, or a truck, pulling a trailer, pulling a boat, and always trying to leave that extra distance when you're towing something, you know, especially a heavier vehicle with trailer brakes, and trying to leave that kind of gap when you're heading through metropolitan areas is just so incredibly frustrating.
Oh, yeah. And then you think about the big truck drivers and stuff when you're coming to a light and you watch somebody right before they need
just
to slow down,
dart right in
front of them.
Oh, my dad owned a moving and storage company, and you know, the first real vehicle that I drove was a semi truck. You know, here they throw the keys at me. Let me back this up to the dock. I'm like, you know, 14 years old. And I'm like, okay.
yes.
So I tell you what, I can back up with the best of them.
I actually take a lot of grief of how I back up.
but I used to ride in the trucks. We were moving furniture out to the Naval Air Station, Whidbey Island. Moved a lot of military personnel and riding with the guy driving the semi and watching the cars dart in front of them and having to hit the brakes and see what they go through. I definitely have a lot of sympathy for the truckers out there.
Yeah.
I have a lot of not sympathy for a few of them that create their own problems, I guess. Aggressive truck driving, the attitude, they're bigger, so...
It's the same thing on your boat.
Yeah, but the reality is you got to leave that truck a little extra room, especially when they're behind you, because if you have to panic stop, they ain't going to stop at all.
No.
Looks like we do have a caller on the line here. We've got John on the line this morning. Are you there, John?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I got an 09 Marquee that I'm having problems with the trunk lid. It won't, I'll open it up, and sometimes it doesn't want to, it won't. Latch when I shut it until I mess around with the key fob or the switch.
You know, my son has the same problem with his Subaru Impreza. The rear hatch won't latch either. Actually, his rear hatch is latched and it's open, and because the lower plate that the latch attaches to has been ripped off of the frame.
I can fool around with the key fob. It sounds like a machine gun going off.
So if you just press it once, it does the little clatter thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it really shouldn't do that. And, you know, a 2009 Marquee rear latch, is that one of those powered latches where you, like, lower down and click it and then it sucks it down?
No, it doesn't shut itself. No.
Okay. So it just should just latch. That latch could easily be bad. A lot of those have the actuator integrated right in with the latch, and it doesn't take much to be sticking there for it not to work properly. And
so, I'm sorry, I didn't.
No, it sometimes a little bit of lube, some WD-40, or something like that can free it up. And then if you use like some TriFlow, the WD-40 is actually more of a solvent that kind of clears gunk away.
Yep.
And then something like TriFlow is a bit more of a lubricant that helps keep things moving freely and not sticking.
I tried WD-40 up in there. Maybe I didn't shoot enough.
You know, they can just get sticky and go bad. There's a, you know, we replace them in a variety of vehicles. I wouldn't say there's one more than other, except maybe a Ford Escape that we've done multiple ones in. But they happen and they fail. And
well,
a lot of times
I
when
guess I'll just I'll keep trying and then I'll have to bring it in somewhere. I guess is it a big deal getting that out of there?
No, that's not too bad on it. You know,
it's going to be finding it right now.
Yeah,
we're seeing more and more supply chain problems. We're part of the club.
Yeah. Okay. All righty.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think we're going to go to a little break here. 360-676-KGMI. You are in the shop. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic. Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive.
Trust is a powerful word, but when's the last time you heard it referenced when talking about auto repair? Hi, I'm John Beebe, owner of Burlington Automotive. Woven through each of our team members is this core value, that we will deliver trusted auto repair. There is nothing less for us. Whether you're new to the area or simply looking for a new place to care for your vehicles, I assure you that Burlington Automotive will be a great choice for you. Thank you, Skagit Valley, for the many years of trusting us. Find out more about us at burlingtonautomotive.com.
At Puget Sound Energy, we're proudly aspiring to reduce our own emissions to net zero and to go beyond by helping others reduce carbon across Washington. Together, we're investing in local renewables, strengthening the electric grid, helping customers switch to electric vehicles, innovating with low carbon resources, supporting our communities, and saving energy along the way. Together, we're creating a clean energy future.
Hey, Mom, can you help me with a math problem?
Sure thing, hon.
Okay, how many legs do spiders have?
Oh, 8, I think.
So then how many legs would 1,000,000 spiders have?
Well, you would multiply 8 legs times... Wait, why are you asking me about spiders?
Because there's 1,000,000 of them in our basement. That's 8,000,000 legs, right? Mom?
You can do the math, and then you can call BioBug. BioBug Pest Management, providing professional pest control services for over 2 decades. Visit BioBug.com today.
Hi, it's Scott from Northwest Sleep Solutions in Fairhaven. You know, a lot of folks sleep a little hot, and it only gets worse in the summer. Being a warm sleeper myself, I am very aware of this when choosing the mattresses we carry. We use more natural materials in both our Northwest Sleep line and our 45th Street Latex mattresses. The natural foams are more breathable, and by adding wool layers and natural covers, we can really increase the airflow. In our Beautyrest line, we opt to use the cooler gel foams rather than the standard memory foams that not only sleep hot, they actually remember your shape. And our Tempur-Pedic line includes the cooling breeze models that take cooling to a whole new level. Finally, we carry washable wool toppers and mattress pads that can cool off your existing mattress. So keep cool, Whatcom County, and come see us at Northwest Sleep Solutions on the corner of 10th and McKenzie in Fairhaven.
The solution for a good night's sleep.
KGMI Connects is a new live show each weekday afternoon about our community and you.
Oh my gosh, they're going to take away my health care. Yeah. They're going to do this, they're going to do that.
What about that?
You know, the three justices that Trump put on the Supreme Court all voted to uphold Obamacare.
Yeah.
Shocker.
Uh-huh.
Join us each weekday at 4 p.m. for KGMI Connects on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM, and KGMI.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Welcome back. You are in the shop. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. Give us a call, 360-676-KGMI. And
Phones are lighting up.
Phones are lighting up. We're talking a little bit about adverse weather driving, but loving your calls about anything automotive related. And we've got Mark on the line here. Good morning, Mark.
How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Good. I have... I just bought a 07 Honda Civic with a 1.8 liter motor. Mm-hmm. And it had a factory recall. It had a cracked block. There was a factory thing, so they threw a new engine in it.
Just after you bought it or before you bought it?
This is before I buy it.
Okay.
And it has about, I think, 70,000 miles on the new motor. And my question is, how many miles should those things have on them before you should think about replacing the timing belt?
On an 07 Civic, I want to say that's 90,000, but it could
actually
be 105.
I think it's 105.
Okay, so around 105,000, you should look to have the timing belt done?
Yeah, and there is a time on that, too. With so many of today's timing belts, a lot of times we see it's age that gets to them as much as the mileage. Like I've seen people go in year-wise, and I don't really recommend this, but maybe somebody drives 35,000 miles a year, and in, 5 years, they got 150,000 miles on it. And I'll see ones that are 11 years old with 50,000 miles, and that 11-year-old belt with 50,000 miles in worse shape than the 150,000-mile belt. So you want to look at not only the mileage but the age. So if that thing had a new block put in it in 2007 or 2008 or 2009, you're definitely in the window that you should replace the belt again. So I don't know when the engine was replaced date-wise, but I would look at the
– I think the engine was done in, I want to say – 2011, I think.
Because normally they're in the 8 to 10 year range, so you're probably by time wise into that window that I would think about doing it. And the reality is we see more water pump failures that are driven by the timing belt on those than we do actual timing belt failures. So it's a lot of times it's the tensioner, a pulley, or something else behind the cover that the belt makes contact with that leads to a failure versus the belt failing itself these days.
Or one of the seals up there leaks and pours oil in there. Consistently.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody, and they were saying, when you get the timing belt, you get, you can get, a kit.
Yeah, you take care of the cam seal, crank seal, water pump, tensioner, idler pulley. If you're gonna do the surgery, do it right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so it's more about the time than the miles?
It's both, but if you don't have the ton of miles on there, then you want to follow the time guidelines.
Right. I kind of like if it's a, let's say it's a 60,000 mile belt, I say 60 or 6 years. If it's in 90, I go 90 or 9 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right.
You got it.
Mark.
Thanks for the call.
And the thing on that is you start to look at what's the cost of failure.
Oh, it's expensive too.
You could be looking at bent valves or, you're on your way to go on vacation or to a Thanksgiving trip or Christmas trip to see family in Eastern Washington, and the water pump starts leaking because it's at the end of its life. That it's not just the cost of doing the job; it's the hassle of the failure.
Right.
And it's always going to cost more to get it done when you're going somewhere than when you're planning for it.
And we've both been in this business long enough that how many Hondas have you actually saved when it broke? I mean, there's not many.
Yeah.
You get them every once in a while. You're lucky, and it turns free, but. I would say 90% of the time, not the case.
Yeah, and suddenly at that point, the cost is going to, 3, 4, 5 times, 6 times as much to start replacing valves and doing major work on it. So I think we've got another call on the line here. We've got Nancy this morning. Are you there, Nancy? Nancy?
Are you talking to Sandy?
Oh, Sandy. My bad.
That's okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. What can we do for you?
Well, just... a bit of advice, if someone's in an accident, the last thing that they should say is, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm not hurt.
Absolutely.
You might say, I'm in shock, I'm not bleeding, I can walk, I need to have my doctor check me out. Because what really happened in that accident is if your son had his foot on the brake, his entire leg got thrown in one direction while the rest of his body went the other direction. So he's now at high risk for arthritis in his ankle, his knee, his right hip. His spine has been affected. The reason he's going to wake up so very, very sore is because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go easily away. He's young, it sounds like, so he's in good shape. But the insurance company will love him for saying he's not hurt when he actually is, and he has no idea what the damage is. He's in shock.
I appreciate the call and comment, Sandy, because there is another portion of the story that I haven't told yet. When the accident happened, it's windy, it's kind of stormy, it's pouring down rain, the freeway's blocked, cars are backed up from from North Lake Sammish area, you know, back into the middle of Bellingham because of this accident. And a limb partially over the road, although he helped break the limb off when the car hit him from behind and pushed him through the tree that he stopped to avoid. And yes, the adrenaline of an accident, of that happening, combined with the urgency of I'm supposed to be at a new job in Seattle in 4 hours, which he was heading towards. But I seem fine and I'm not injured. And a couple hours later, we get the car towed back to the shop. And then I'm there, my wife's there, and we're trying to figure things out. And he's trying to call his new employer to get things worked out there, who fortunately everybody seems to be understanding. It's an accident, even with the gentleman behind him. It was an accident. Nobody meant for it to happen. Nobody was being patently unsafe or aggressive driving or anything like that. It was just things happen, and there wasn't enough following distance, plain and simple. But suddenly he's, like, walking kind of funny. And my wife's driving him home, and he's like, ooh, don't accelerate too hard. My neck is sore. Mm-hmm. And we were already planning to have him go in and get checked out, which he did. And you know, we won't know for time. He wasn't up yet this morning, but I know how day two and three are definitely worse than day one with any type of injury like that. But we actually got a call from the insurance company within 10 minutes of contacting them, the other party's insurance. And I'm just going to throw their name out there. It's no secret. It's State Farm. He gets a call. It's not a call of, hey, how you doing? We're sorry you were injured. Want to make sure you need anything and, go in and get the care you need. It's we'd like to flip you a few dollars, put in your account by the end of the day. You sign a release waiver, and we cap the limits on any medical coverage.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
So if you got State Farm insurance out there and you're worried about ethics or morals or things like that, you might give them a call and see how they handle somebody when they're injured. Because I was pretty offended when he got that phone call.
Insurance companies are very definitely a bottom-line business. They will do anything to get your business. But you watch out. If you are injured or your car is hurt, all of a sudden, it's not a big deal for them to give you the lowest dollar amount absolutely possible. And they will use every trick in the book to pay you off the least possible because they're a big business making a profit.
And I hope he's okay. Things don't seem horribly bad, but I also know how things go. I know if I injure my back today, I'm going to be paying for it for a week or more. It's not.
And truly, it can take years. If you injure your back, it causes inflammation. The inflammation can cause damage that is long-term. It causes arthritis, which can lead to spinal stenosis, which can lead to you leaning over a shopping cart instead of standing up straight.
It can lead to titanium hardware and spinal fusion, and I'm well aware of that one because I've got I got a couple rods and other hardware in my back myself, and let me tell you, it's not fun.
So, bottom line, if you're in an accident, if you can think of it, because you are in shock, you are in adrenaline rush.
Right.
Say, I think that I'm going to check it out with my doctor. I'm not bleeding. I can walk, but I don't know how things are yet.
Yep.
Oh, that's great advice.
Absolutely, Sandy. Appreciate the call. We're coming up on a break, but I do thank you very much. And you're a caring person with good advice. All right. You are in the shop. Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic. Dan from Bellingham.
Did you know that Whatcom County is currently in a drought? So it's more important to conserve water. Save our water and save your money with these smart watering tips. Watering early or late in the day will help reduce evaporation. Get water right to the roots, watering deeply and slowly and less often. Use a watering wand for small areas and a drip or soaker hose placed under mulch for larger areas. And don't be afraid to let your lawn get a tan and go dormant right now. It's a great way to reduce your water bill, save water, and you'll be amazed at how quickly it'll grow up in the fall. And remember, the voluntary watering schedule is still in effect until September 30th based on even or odd street address numbers. Practices like these will save our water and save your money. Always check with your local water provider for details regarding specific water use or restrictions in your area. Brought to you by the Whatcom Water Alliance, working together to improve water conservation in Whatcom County. For more information and water saving tips, visit WhatcomWaterAlliance.org.
Is an injury, accident, or pain keeping you from the activities you enjoy most? This is Dr. Jeanette Penner, a physical therapist and owner of Capstone Physical Therapy. Our Capstone team of physical therapists want to help get you back to the activities you enjoy and living life pain-free. Whether you're limited by a sports injury, work injury, an accident, surgery, or any other pain-causing or life-altering condition, our therapists will take the time to listen and understand your condition and create a treatment plan to help you reach your goals. We have specialty providers for hand therapy, women's health, sports rehabilitation, and an LNI-approved return-to-work program. We recently opened new clinics in Fairhaven, Ferndale, and Birch Bay. With 7 locations in Whatcom County, a Capstone Physical Therapy clinic is always close when you need us most.
Capstone Physical Therapy, voted best of the Northwest for the past 4 years, with locations in Fairhaven, Barkley, Cordata, Ferndale, Linden, Birch Bay, and Blaine. Learn how Capstone Physical Therapy can help you today at capstonept.com.
America's schools are closing, which can be especially tough on students who struggle with poverty, hunger, and trauma. But communities in schools can help. Our organization puts caring adults inside schools to help vulnerable students stay in school. Now, in the face of crisis, we're working beyond school walls, delivering meals to students, helping them access remote learning, doing whatever it takes to help them succeed. To learn more, visit communitiesinschools.org.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
When it comes to your comfort and the air quality in your home, rely on the trained comfort specialists at West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electric with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham and KGMI.com.
CBS News Brief. A midday rally at the U.S. Capitol building in support of those jailed after January's deadly insurrection. Extremism expert Michael German says calling them political prisoners is harmful to American democracy.
Mainstream politicians continuing to say supportive things to them conditions them to believe that they're actions are not just justified, but authorized.
An FDA advisory panel is not authorizing the Pfizer COVID booster shot for those over six, for those under 65.
The question that was reviewed by the panel was, in people 16 years of older, would they think there's enough data to merit a booster shot? And the answer was voted 16-2, no, that there wasn't enough data.
CBS medical contributor Dr. David Agus. Thousands of Haitian migrants have gathered in a Texas border town.
Officials say they expect thousands more to cross the river between Mexico and Del Rio in the coming days.
CBS News Brief, I'm Linda Kenyon.
Welcome back. You are in the shop. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. Little shout out to our co-hosts, Kirk at Angler Automotive.
And Steve at the Panacea.
That's right. I think Steve's enjoying some time off, maybe visiting.
Yeah, I think he's out of town
this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Kirk's at home with the boys.
Yeah.
And he's got a number of projects going on.
Yes, he does. He's got a big lawn, too. He's probably out cleaning right now.
Big lawn. Picking
he's
up
probably
some tree
cleaning
branches,
some tree stuff.
Making sure there's nothing through the roof.
Yep.
And we are taking your calls, 360-676-KGMI, and we have Robert on the line here this morning. Are you there, Robert?
Yes, I am. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, no problem. I hope your son recovers well. I know my wife was in a bad accident, got rear-ended, pushed her into a police car, everything else went on. But, now she's 84 years old, going to be 84 years old, and she's paid for it for the last 20 years.
Yeah, I hope my wife's going to be okay, too, after that.
Yes, yeah. Anyhow, I guess my question is, I'm new to the Bellingham area, and I lent my truck, my Dodge one-ton diesel truck to 07 to my son-in-law and my daughter, and they went on a trip down to Utah and were in that hot weather, so they had the air conditioner going steady. And consequently, it went out. Who is a good air conditioning guy for that type of vehicle in Bellingham, I guess?
I think all of us do it. I don't think Kirk does.
Yeah, I think if you're looking to have that done, you know, Dan at Bellingham Automotive does air conditioning work. We do it at Dr. John's Auto Clinic and Steve up at the Panacea. So any of us would be glad to take a look at it.
Dr. John?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dr. John's.
And Bellingham Auto.
Bellingham Automotive. And, you know, sometimes these can be really minor things.
Yeah.
It's really common. We see just the Schrader valves, which they're kind of like an oversized tire valve.
Yeah, valves, too.
That goes into the charge ports and the testing ports on them. Those are really common areas where they just have, like, slow leaks. And if it leaks down to a certain threshold, it'll just quit working. It's designed to do that. So first step is really just to check pressure, see if there's anything in the system, and if there is, and you can go further and check and see if you've got a control problem, a pressure switch problem, or compressor problem. Being a 2007, it could be, you know, could be anything on the list.
Yeah.
But
it's only got 106,000 on it, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Dr. John, is that a clinic or something,
Dr. John's Auto Clinic. We're down on Kentucky Street.
Yep.
Just off Pacific and Iowa, kind of off from Auto Row there, one block to the north.
Okay. So Bannerman Auto Clinic or John's Auto. Okay, well, one can't do it, I'll try the other one.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it.
I thank you very much for your expertise.
Yeah.
Great. I enjoy your show.
Thank you. Yeah, so probably, you know, we all work really closely together here on the show. We're in competition with each other, I guess you might say. But I don't know. Hey, keep your enemies closer. That's what they
say. That's right. This is really close, Brian, right now.
but Bellingham Automotive, they're up at Bakerview and Hannigan, kind of just off the corner there. You'll see their sign out front. I think they got some banner that says AC work out front or something like that. It says alignments.
I think we just switched it.
Oh, you did. Okay. I haven't driven by recently. The other one blew away last night.
It did.
And then Steve at the Panacea is out at Britton Road and the Mount Baker Highway right on the corner there. And Kirk at Angler, he's right over on Valencia Street, just down the road and around the corner.
And I could be wrong. Kirk might do AC too. I just don't remember.
Yeah. So, you know, give any one of us a call. We'd love to help you out. And, you know, we work together. If we can't get somebody in, we'll send it to one of the other guys, and they'll do the same for us. So, we just want people to stay on the road and stay safe.
Exactly.
We're going to take another quick break and then a few more calls here. 360-676-KGMI. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham Automotive, and we'll be right back.
Oh, so much better than that tent we stayed in last year.
We sure are putting this new RV to work. I'm glad we're here early because it seems that everyone has stepped up their mode of camping and, well, they're all here.
I told you not to post about it last year. It was supposed to be our little secret, but now everyone knows.
Well, Kent's Garden and Nursery's annual sale is just too good to be true. I had to show off all my fabulous new trees and shrubs. And now, well, we're the garden envy of all our neighbors.
And that's why we're camped out waiting for Kent's to open. I'm ready to finish planting my pond. And with 30% off everything but the dirt, I think we can buy enough greenery to create that living fence between us and you know who.
Oh, I see they're opening the gates. I got my trusty wheelbarrow. Let's go.
Don't miss Kent's annual fall save 30% off everything but the dirt sale. Friday, September 9th through the 19th. It's the biggest sale of the year at the largest nursery in town at Kent's Garden and Nursery on Northwest Drive in Bellingham.
I'm Washington State Elections Director Lori Agino. Thousands of offices are up for election this November, from mayors and city council members to school boards, fire districts, and more. Don't miss the opportunity to weigh in on local matters that matter to you. Make sure you're ready to vote by visiting votewa.gov today. That's VOTEWA.gov. And remember, Election Day is November 2nd.
Sponsored by the Office of the Secretary of State and aired in cooperation with the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
There's a lot going on right now, and broadcasters are on the ground covering all of it, bringing you the weather, the traffic, and breaking news, all while entertaining you 24 hours a day. Someone needs to tell you what's going on around the world and in our hometowns. And that someone is us. We are free radio. We are always there. We are broadcasters. Visit wearebroadcasters.com or text radio to 52886 to learn more. Furnished by NAB and this station.
Hey, welcome back. You are in the shop. This is Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham Automotive, 360-676-KGMI. We'd love to hear from you. And Dan and I were talking during the break, and I get tired of seeing it on the news and hearing it from other businesses. And worse is going to Jaeger's and they're out of Dick Knight lures.
Yeah.
You know, I need the sparkly pink Dick Knight lure with the white back to catch my pink salmon.
I was going
to
say, you're going pink fishing.
and they're out of them.
Yeah.
And last year, you know, their supply was a bit low. And this year, you know, it's supply chain issues is getting worse. And when it starts to affect your fishing, you know, that's a problem.
I mean, yeah, work is.
But, well, you were just saying you were problems finding brake rotors for an Odyssey.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just supply is low.
Kelly, normally I can do something. I mean, I have choices all over where I can get stuff same day. And yeah, I think we're Monday for Odyssey brake rotors.
Yeah, and we're seeing that more and more. A lot of dealer parts. I think both GM and Ford, I think, are the two that we've started to run into more and more is things that are like dealer-only items. You can't get them aftermarket, and they're not available.
No.
They're in the supply chain. They, you know, maybe they're in a container off the coast of California somewhere.
Well, I love that. Yeah, but they're on back order with no date.
No date.
So you have no idea what to do.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we'll start to see less and less of that. But have some patience. We're not very happy about it either, having to call a customer and tell them that you know, we're waiting for a part. Boy, try to find a remanufactured engine for some vehicles these days.
We've waited up to 2 months so far.
Unbelievable. Well, we're going to take some more calls here, and looks like we've got Chris on the line this morning. Are you there, Chris?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a Volkswagen Jetta, a 2006 with a 2.5 engine, and it's got an issue where when I started it up, it seems to run just fine at idle, but as soon as the engine warms up, then it starts revving without touching the gas pedal, and up and down. And so I did a diagnostic. It said that the throttle housing needs cleaning. So I got a can of sea foam spray and squirted it in there, and that seemed to have solved the problem, but it only lasted for a day, and it started again. So I actually took off the air hose that goes to the throttle housing and wiped it down with a rag, and there was a lot of carbon buildup, so I thought that I had solved the problem, but it still is doing the revving. And so my understanding, I need to do a throttle housing adjustment. And I'm wondering if you can tell me if there's a way to do that without actually getting a diagnostic machine.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple things that can concern me on that, and that is probably a vehicle that we call a drive-by-wire vehicle, where it's an electronic throttle body, where your gas pedal is just a sensor, and the computer determines how far the throttle plate needs to open, and it's got some little motors and sensors on the throttle body that communicate with the computer and determine what's going to happen there. And with what you're talking about, that carbon or sludge or gunk, sticky, gross buildup that happens on the throttle plate can cause things to stick. And especially that throttle plate maybe to stick, you know, close to the closed position. And then the motor has to work a little bit harder. And then it kind of jumps and opens further than it intended and kind of oscillates back and forth. Sometimes happens. Cleaning those is a procedure that, like, unless you're experienced and know exactly what you're doing, one, it can be hard to get it fully clean. The second thing is it can be easy to damage it.
Absolutely.
So you want to be cautious about doing that and what chemicals are used. And you know, there are different ways of using a rag or a little nylon brush or something to clean it all out. And using too much chemical can actually cause internal engine damage. I've seen people actually flood the engine and cause a cylinder to build up too much fluid in it and hydrolock. So you want to be very careful when you go into work on that. But Volkswagens, especially when you look at that Jetta, is they talk about, they use their own German terminology translated to English, but they use things like basic settings, and you need to reset your throttle body basic settings through a special section in your scan tool that even a lot of the inexpensive scan tools you can buy at the auto parts store and things like that don't have these adaptations built into them. And it probably does need to have the basic adaptation settings reset for the throttle body, which may solve your problem. But it might need a new throttle body as well. And going through those steps to find out are usually worthwhile. But being able to do that at home requires some education in exactly how to do it, the right tool to do it.
Yep.
And then sometimes being able to, like, do it three or four times because it doesn't like the way you did it the first time.
Yeah, I'm seeing on YouTube that there's different things about turning the key and not actually starting the car for 10 seconds and things. Is that all just a bunch of wives' tales, or is there anything to resetting the back last night on YouTube, I saw somebody was saying to just take both positive and negative off the battery and touching them together to reset. Is something like that possible?
You know, sometimes those things work. Sometimes it varies depending on the vehicle. And when you talk about turning the key on and waiting the 10 seconds, with almost any drive-by-wire car, when you have that electronic and electromechanical throttle body, when you turn the key on and don't start the car, the throttle body will go through it's not exactly a relearn, but it's verifying the data from the sensors, and it'll open the throttle and then close the throttle. You hear like a little bzz, bzz, under the hood.
Uh-huh.
And on some vehicles, when you turn the key on and do that, it will do a base relearn in that window. Volkswagens are sometimes, and some German cars are right, a little bit different in their implementation. And usually it's going to take a scan tool to properly reset it. Subarus are an example of what you just said, to disconnect the battery, then hook it back up, turn the key on, don't start the car. Sometimes it'll relearn. Sometimes mm-hmm. you have to drive it for a while. Sometimes you can start the car and run the air conditioning for 2 minutes and let it idle without the AC for 2 minutes and then turn the steering wheel, turn it off and repeat and, you know, rub your head, pat your stomach, touch your nose, wiggle your earlobe. But having the right scan tool, the right communication device is really essential to determining what's going on and getting it to work right.
Especially on Volkswagen.
And a lot of knowledge and skill on the Volkswagen as well.
Yeah, I definitely know. That's like a BMW. It's definitely way over the average person's knowledge. Ballpark figure, if I was like to come over to Dr. John's, I'm just about 6 blocks away from your location there, to do a diagnostic, what would that cost? Over $100?
Yeah, we're probably going to be over $100. It depends on what we need to do to go in and check if there's codes, clear codes, reset the throttle body adaptives. You know, I'd say $100 to $200. But you know, without seeing the car, a lot of times in situations like this, you know, you've gone through and done the obvious simple things, and so you know that kind of puts it sometimes into a phase two diagnostic. But we always start with the phase one of doing the initial checks and making sure everything's okay. We see other issues with those, whether it's airflow sensors, temperature sensors, and other things. So getting a baseline on, are there any other codes in there, and is the computer getting the right data from the sensors to begin with?
Well, what has me perplexed is that definitely when I used the Seafoam spray, the issue went away for a whole day. I drove it. Not a lot, but put 10 miles on it just to see. Yeah.
And it may just need to be cleaned really well and have the adaptives reset.
Uh-huh. But even getting the adaptives reset would probably be like $150, $200, huh?
It's going to be over $100 in most cases.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've got to plug in our, you know, $15,000 scan tool that requires $2,000 a year to keep it working. And
you've got a lot of money invested.
Yeah.
So. Okay, but basically the other things is just folly on the on
sometimes they'll work, but you've got something more going on. So
yeah, I believe that.
All right, appreciate the call.
Well, thank you.
You're in the shop. Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham Automotive. We'll be right back.
Wow, what a year it has been. So many things are happening in the world. I would describe it as unprecedented and unpredictable.
You are right. There have been heat waves, forest fires, hurricanes, floods, and not to mention this virus. What's next?
I don't know, but didn't they just find a nest of giant Asian murder hornets?
All I can say is I'm ready for things to get back to normal and predictable.
Well, I can think of one thing that is always predictable. Fall is coming, and Linden Sheet Metal will be out to service our heating equipment. Their technicians are always helpful and provide reliable service.
That reminds me, our furnace needs replacing. I'd better hurry up and give them a call.
At Linden Sheet Metal, we know how everyone wants life back to normal. Until then, Now is a great time to think about servicing or upgrading your furnace so you have reliable heat when the weather becomes more unpredictable. With rebates and financing with low monthly payments, we have systems to fit most budgets. Linden Sheet Metal, serving the Northwest for over 80 years.
CHS Northwest's customer appreciation event is on. You'll find amazing deals throughout your local CHS store for your home or farm. Get ready for fall and don't miss CHS Northwest's customer appreciation sale on now through the 19th. CHS Northwest, everything you need for home and farm.
To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Fall into some great savings at Wilson's Furniture this season. You'll find living room, bedroom, and dining room furniture in a style and at a price point that fits your home and your budget. Wilson's Furniture, open 7 days a week on Pacific Highway in Ferndale.
Well, welcome back. You are in the shop. Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham Automotive. Taking your calls, 360-676-KGMI. Tons of great callers on the air this morning.
I love these overcast days. That's right. There's people listening.
We've got another one here. We've got John on the line here. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have a 1989 Oldsmobile.
That's a classic.
That is.
88 Royale. It's a great car. I get great mileage. You know, it's a little old, but I noticed my idler pulley on the belt tensioner was shaking, so I replaced that, and it's still shaking. I think the whole where it mounts to the engine is haywire, and there's a couple of different parts. One has passageways for coolant water, and the other one's just a flat plate. Is that something I can do myself, or should I have a professional do it?
You know, that really comes down to your skill level.
Yeah, I know exactly which one he's working with. It has a little 90 elbow going into it. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure if mine has the elbows and the passageways for the coolant hoses, or whether it's just the flat. If it's a flat plate, it looks a little more simple.
Yeah, that one's not as bad. I don't know on the. I don't know how to. You'd have to look and see which if you have a line going into it. It's got that plastic elbow that they put on it. I know there's updates to that.
Yeah, and I would. You know, you can go online to Napa Online, Bellingham mm-hmm. Auto Parts, and look at if there's two options on the tensioner for that, look at the pictures of them, and then compare that to what you see on the car. Old's 88, that's front wheel drive on that year,
3.8, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a GM 3800. Yeah.
Working on some of that on the front of that engine can get kind of tight, I think, for space available. And I wouldn't say requires specialty tools, but it definitely requires the appropriate tools.
And patience
to get in there. Maybe a nice box of nitrile gloves and a case of Gatorade.
If you can get them.
Possibly a floor jack and jack stands. Some spare skin for your cut hands.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, it sounds better all the time.
they can just be a little bit... a little bit tight to work on, and you know, it's somebody who does it all the time. It's not necessarily a big deal, but not necessarily the most desirable job. If it's something you're not comfortable with, I'd be cautious. On the flip side, sometimes when you get into a 30-year-old car, you got to start to question is how far do you want to go? Because costs can add up real rapidly on an old car like that. Because you start getting into, okay, we need to do the tensioner. Now we got to maybe do a cooling system flush. We got to replace the drive belt. Maybe there's another pulley down there. Oh no, the water pump's loose. There's an oil leak. So without knowing the condition of the car, I just look at, you know, that type of vehicle that we see come into the shop, things start to, you know, kind of add up on it. And sometimes, you know, trying to tackle it yourself and go the economical route, given your skill level, is the right way to go. Other times, at least getting it assessed and determine, you know, whether it's something, you know, you really want to put the money into and reinvest into the car and keep it on the road. It is getting to be an aged car, so I always caution people when you're looking at a 30-year-old GM vehicle to, you know, really decide if it's the best choice to put the money into or to look at other options.
Right. Another thing I found is there's a vacuum port on top of the engine where there's four vacuum lines that goes in. It's just a little plastic part.
The vacuum tree.
You can't. Nobody makes a replacement. Mine's cracked. I've JB welded it and stuff. I got it to seal up, but there is no replacement part for it.
Yeah, that again, that's what you run into on a 30-year-old car. Most manufacturers are only supporting cars for 10 years now a lot of parts, and it's hard for us to get things as well. And that's why I say I caution people on you know, really make sure you know where your limit is on putting money into the older car.
Unfortunately.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you, John. We got a lot of people that like their older cars, and I think it's great. And keeping it on the road is actually helping reduce waste by not building new cars.
Right. But finding a price you can afford now on a used car is crazy.
Sometimes you got to draw the line. You've been in the shop. Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. We'll see you next week.